Since Congress enacted the law opening new athletic opportunities for women, known as Title IX, in 1972, America has seen an explosion of women's participation in sports. Women's collegiate championships are regularly broadcast on national television, and more than a million girls now play high school soccer, basketball, lacrosse, and volleyball. But our guest, Mike Sokolov, says there's also been an explosion in injuries to female athletes, with serious knee injuries occurring at rates several times higher than those among male athletes. Sokolov says the damage is due partly to differences between men's and women's bodies, particularly in the teen years, and partly to what he calls the insanity of our youth sports culture. His book says there are things parents can and should do to protect their kids. Sokolov is a contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine and the author of two earlier books. His latest is Warrior Girls, Protecting Our Daughters Against the Injury Epidemic in Women's Sports. Well, Michael Sokolov, welcome back to Fresh Air. Since Title IX was enacted in 1972, which ensured women and girls access to athletic opportunities in school, we've seen an enormous increase in their participation, tenfold. What's the price we're paying in injuries to our daughters?
The price is just this raft of injuries in community after community. Knee injuries have gotten a lot of attention. Girls suffer injuries to their ACL, which is the stabilizing ligament in the knee, and which is a horrendous injury when it is ruptured, at times 5 to 8 times greater than boys do and in sports that they play in common. And this is mostly the pivoting and cutting sports of basketball, volleyball, soccer, field hockey to some extent. But it's not just the knee injuries that have gotten a lot of attention. From head to toe, back pain, ankle pain, concussions, when you go across communities, you see entire teams of girls where you'll see 18 girls and 8 of them with major injuries, sometimes with lifelong consequences, by the time the season is over.
Now, you write about Amy Stedman, who was once one of the most promising young soccer players in the nation. I'd like you to describe meeting her, what she was like when you first met her, and just tell us a bit of her story.
Well, Amy was going to be one of the great soccer players of her generation. She was captain of the U.S. under-19 team. She was just this wonderful, spirited, fast player and was going to go off to the University of North Carolina. Before she could get there, she tore her ACL. She went on to tear it 3 more times. She had a series of surgeries. By the time I met Amy, she was 20 years old. She was done playing. I met her down at the University of North Carolina. And as she walked toward me that first time, if I had not known her history, I would have never believed she had been an athlete, let alone an elite athlete. She walked very stiffly. She was in a great deal of pain. And we sat there for close to 3 hours that first time we talked. And she just described this litany of injuries and surgeries to me and described the last one that she had had, in which the doctor said to her when she came out of anesthesia, "Amy, there was nothing in there left to fix." And that just, you know, in 3 decades of journalism, it has been rare for me to have to hold back my own emotions. It was such a sad story to be told by someone I had known to be this wonderful athlete. Amy is retired now. She can't play anymore and is looking at having an artificial knee probably by the time she's 30 years old.
Let's talk about some physiology here. How are the differences between boys' and girls' bodies, particularly as they take up sports, contributing to this rash of injuries?
When girls and boys move into puberty, and when they move through puberty, boys add muscle. They get stronger, often without much effort of their own. Girls do not get appreciably stronger, but girls get more flexible. When that flexibility is not accompanied by strength, you know, good old-fashioned muscle to keep joints stable, that leads to injuries. So what we're seeing is these girls being asked to play extraordinary schedules, 5, 6, 7 times a week, to specialize in one sport, you know, by the time they reach puberty, if not much earlier, to play that sport 9, 10, 11 months a year, and their bodies are not holding up to it.
You know, you had an interesting idea, I think, in trying to get a sense of kind of the prevalence of these injuries, and that was to go to the military, where women have now been serving for several years and have to go through the grueling exercise of basic training. And there's some evidence on the frequency of injuries among women. What did you find in the military?
I tapped into some fascinating research in Army basic training. They have tracked their injuries going back a couple of decades. And what the Army knows is that women are much more often injured in basic training. Lower extremity injuries, stress fractures, they don't broadcast this because gender in the military is a sensitive subject, just as it is in sports. But what the Army also knows is that women are tougher than the men. It takes a much bigger injury to drive a woman out of basic training than it does to drive a man out of basic training. So you have to ask, well, why is that? Some people imagine or assume that women have a higher pain tolerance. The research, by the way, does not necessarily back that up or does not do that definitively. I think that women in the Army, as in sports, are still relative newcomers, and they are perhaps trying to prove their bona fides. And one of the ways that you prove your bona fides in the military or in sports is to play through pain. And I believe that that is absolutely what's going on our playing fields with young women, not of Army basic training age, but 12 and 13 and 14-year-old women, or young women who are being encouraged to play through pain or feel that it's something that they must do, or perhaps have played in so much pain since they began playing sports that they are inured to it.
You border upon the politically incorrect message here that women are dainty, delicate things that shouldn't be putting cleats on and tearing up an athletic field. And there are, of course, strong advocates for women's sports out there, people who have fought to make Title IX a reality and open up athletic budgets and athletic opportunities to women. What are they seeing in terms of injury rates? Do they see a problem?
In the course of researching this book, every parent and every young athlete I talked to was very glad for me to be doing this book. They said, thank you for looking into this. Because in each community, people tend to think, wow, this is happening on my team. What a stroke of bad luck. Or this has happened to my daughter. And then at a certain point, they realize, well, this is bigger than that. And it is, in fact, a nationwide trend. And they said, well, thank you for investigating this. Thank you for trying to highlight some research and talking about some solutions. There were women's sports advocates who said to me, whoa, you better watch what you write. You better be careful what you write, which, of course, I was. I'm an advocate of women's sports. I have a daughter who is a college athlete. But what I found was injury rates, they're just simply unacceptable. And I understand that the history of gender research that identifies differences has always come out as often come out as justifying bias against women. So I certainly understand their caution on this. When we look at men and we say men have more heart attacks or men get prostate cancer, we don't see that as a sign of weakness. We don't say men are the weaker sex. But when we point out differences, and like these, people will often say, oh, well, women shouldn't be playing. Well, that is not my point at all. My point is that women need to train differently than men train. They need to be recognized as different physical beings, should probably be coached more by women coaches. And across the youth culture, boys and girls are playing too much. They're specializing too early. It's not good for either gender. But what I found is that it's too often disastrous for girls. So when someone says, oh, you shouldn't write this, I would just say, well, what is the alternative? That we pretend these statistics don't exist, that we pretend this problem doesn't exist because it sounds somehow politically incorrect or it may lead to bias. I say, let's face it squarely. Let's say girls should play. They should play hard. they should play as competitively as they want to play, but let's change the whole terrain so that they don't walk off the field whenever they're done with their sport as if they played a decade in the NFL. That's just not acceptable.
You discover that there are some exercise regimens that are specifically designed to help female athletes prevent knee injuries, the ACL injuries that have been so troublesome. Just describe what those are like and tell us what the evidence is that they work.
These programs focus on landing from jumps and decelerating, and they teach girls simply to play in what old gym coaches used to call the athletic position, which is knees bent and butt down. They are very routine warm-up programs, plyometrics, which is balancing. There's a program in Santa Monica called the PEP program, which is one of the larger programs. They claim to be able to decrease the rate of ACL injuries in young women by as much as 80%. You know, if they do a quarter of that, it's worth doing. And it is simple preventative medicine, which can be boring. It can be hard. You know, everyone wants to go out to a soccer field and start kicking the ball, or to the basketball court and start shooting the ball. What these programs do is say, let's stop and let's retrain your body to move in a way that is more protective.
If you're just joining us, our guest is writer Michael Sokolov. His new book about the epidemic of injuries in women's sports is called Warrior Girls. One of the things you say in this book and spend some time on is the notion that we need to think, as you write it, more deeply about the insanity of our youth sports culture. And there are several aspects to this. I mean, one of them is specialization. Now, you know, when I was a kid, we played baseball in the spring and summer, football in the fall, and basketball in the winter. And we kind of rolled around and played different sports depending upon what the guys on TV were doing. It's different these days, isn't it? What happens now?
What happens is that a child begins playing perhaps two or three sports. By the age of 9 or 10, especially if she shows some promise, some coach approaches her or approaches her parents and says, hey, she's pretty good. I want to move her up a level. Puts her on the team. She begins playing 4 months a year, then 6 months a year. And at some point, very early on, the coach says, you know, you need to play in the fall season as well as the spring season. And you also need to play indoors during the winter. And before you know it, she's playing 10 months a year, one sport, which is the absolute worst thing that you can do physically or psychologically in an approach to sports. And it is a direct injury cause.
You know, it's interesting how, as you describe in the book, big-name coaches aren't saying anything about these injuries. Athletic directors aren't being aggressive about it. And when you talk to them, I think one or two of them said, well, that's your job to raise this issue. As you mentioned, you wrote a cover story in the New York Times Magazine about this. What has been the reaction?
People who have read the book and read the excerpt in the New York Times Magazine, I got a lot of reaction from athletes and from adult women who had suffered injuries and read the piece as I hoped the piece would be read, which is a serious look at this syndrome and a serious look at coming to grips with it and making changes in the sports culture and educating young women and their parents as to what can be done to decrease these injuries. There were certainly people who read it very politically. There's a great women's blog, Jezebel, very snarky, very lively blog. And on Jezebel, it was alleged that I was, you know, standing in the way of progress for women's sports. And I think it's just the opposite. I think that what threatens women's sports and the further evolution of women's sports and the further expansion of it is injuries, not the few troglodytes who say, well, women shouldn't be playing these sports. We're not going to get very far if we have so many of these girls leaving the field broken up and in pain.
Well, Michael Sokolov, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Dave.
Writer Michael Sokolov, his book is Warrior Girls, Protecting Our Daughters Against the Injury Epidemic in Women's Sports. You can read an excerpt from the first chapter of the book and download podcasts of our show at our website, freshair.npr.org.